My name is Kristen Devlin. I'm the school administrator for Meadowbrook Christian School. My husband's name is Shane, and he's also in the education field. And I have three children, Cade, Macy, they're both in college. And then I have a daughter, Kaylee, who's a freshman at Meadowbrook Christian School as well. As an educator, when COVID hit, specifically in March, and quarantine hit, we were faced with looking at how to look at education differently, what we needed to do to meet the needs of our students. And it went way beyond just meeting the needs of our students, but also our families. And so during that time, many 18-hour days for most educators, trying to look at what's best, what do we need to do to help our students, to also not just academically, but spiritually, mentally. So much was going on in their own personal lives, in their parents' personal lives or work. There was so much unknown for everyone and how that was affecting our students and our families. The trick was trying to come alongside each family. As you know, COVID in general, there's different opinions on both sides of those spectrums. And so that's no different in education. Just wanting to show the love of Christ and everything that we were doing throughout that entire time. Hoping that the decisions that we were making, there wasn't a manual or let's look back at past precedent and how this was handled. All of this was so brand new for everyone and still is. This time was probably one of the most stressful times of personally for me in my life. My life verse is Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I believe that and own that. But during this time, more than any other time, it really caused me to reflect and really look at where and what I was doing. As we were moving forward, many different times throughout all of this, I didn't have the answer. I didn't know. But families and students were looking for an answer. Everyone was. And in not knowing it, hoping that we would have some of those answers. And unfortunately, because you don't, you feel at a loss. And there were many times my husband had to remind me, this is not your school. This is God's. He is in control. He knows what's going on. Through this process, I kept saying, Lord, I don't want to fight this. I want to be more like your image. I want to be refined. And that's all of our, as Christians, I hope, goal. He didn't say it would be easy, but he promised he would never forsake us. So through this time, being able to take it one step by step and really relying on him and the Holy Spirit and discernment, he promises us if we pray to him and ask for wisdom and discernment, he will give that. And for me personally, that was a literally sometimes a minute by minute thing. As you're talking to families or you're talking to teachers, what's the best thing here for them in this situation at this time? And praying that the love of Christ shine through all of it. It has definitely taught me during this time that I am a type A personality and like to check things off lists and get things done. And just sometimes you just that complete and total surrender that God is in control. And at night when I put my head on the pillow, I just keep praying that I've done my best to show the love of Christ and just leave the rest to him. Because, you know, even as we're doing this, I don't know what tonight will hold. I don't know what change will be announced. I don't know. And just having to be able to roll with it and just trust God through the process. I think many people, Christians, are weary. And looking at that in my own personal life and saying, why? Why is that? Where am I finding that power? Where am I finding that strength on my life? And the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is that same power that's indwelling in me or anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And claiming that truth on a daily basis. It's easy to say, but it's that daily surrender day in day and day out, saying you're in control, Lord, you've got this, and just keep praying for his wisdom and that Holy Spirit power to not only indwell in you, but help you make those decisions, ultimately, hopefully, showing God's love and the Holy Spirit and the power that He gives us every day in our lives to bring blessing to those around us. This year, my work was called essential, but nothing was more essential than when God sent His Son. So as we enter this new year, we remember when God sent power.
You've enjoyed and been blessed by the testimonies that have come each week from essential workers. Haven't they done an incredible job? And just really very blessed by them. Today we're talking about when God sent power, when He sent power. And I really believe that so many as believers, we're not drawing on that resource of power that He has given to us. I mean, think about it. If you saw out on the river a very large boat, a motorboat that was there, and on either side there was a guy with an oar, and they're doing their best to move this large boat down the river by their paddles. Now, the thing is, all they had to do was turn on the motor, and they would have had all the power they needed. But instead, they're paddling themselves down the river. Now, I think about this spiritually, and I think so many times we as people are paddling through our spiritual journey where God says, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and all you have to do is turn on the motor, and it will equip you with all you need to be able to see the journey through. We're going to talk about that today because I really believe that power is available to each one of us, as we've sung about this morning in worship, as you heard in the testimony. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear Your voice, not mine. Help us to be able to realize that great power that's available to each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. As we're talking about this, there's a great importance of understanding when God sent Jesus, He sent power. So when God sent Jesus, He sent power for every one of us. Scripture says it this way: instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So we know that that gift of Jesus was a gift to every one of us, and it's a gift that He wants to be able to extend to us. The fact is, God trades all our poverty for His wealth. Not a really good trade on His part, but an incredible trade on our part. Because as we realize that what He has given to us, He trades His poverty for our poverty for His wealth. Scripture says it this way: you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich. So the trade that we get, incredible opportunity that God works for every one of us. Now, God trades our weakness for His strength. So He trades our weakness for His strength. And what does He say? In Isaiah, He says He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, He has power for us. And He wants to trade our weakness for His power. We also know that God sent power when He sent Jesus in the supreme visible image of God to be all things to us. We might ask the question, what would God say if God were really on earth. What would God say if he would to speak directly to me? Well, here's what he would say. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So whatever Christ would say is what God would say, because we know the visible image of Jesus is really the invisible image of God. So he says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through God, or though God, through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authority in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So, like, you might say, oh, so Jesus just came about at the birth of Jesus at Christmas. No, he was all a part of creation. So he has always existed. He didn't just come about at Christmas or at the crucifixion. He has always been in the same way that God has always been. And so what do we see? He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now, what does that say as well? He existed before anything else. That's what I was just saying. And he holds all creation together. So it's in that sense we understand he didn't just spin off the world and go, good, it's done. No, he is actively involved in our lives and in this world on a daily basis. He is holding creation together. So it's not something he did, it's something he's doing on a regular basis. And so Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. And so as we understand that, each of us are a part of the body. Christ is the head. And so as we put that together, we understand it's necessary that we would be connected to make sure we're part of the body. I mean, if I cut off my hand and just set it there, what is it? It's nothing. It's disconnected from my body. And so it's of no value. It's of no use. It is not able to be doing what it was intended to be doing. But when it's connected, then it can do everything it's meant to be doing. It's valuable to me. It makes that kind of difference. So we need to be connected to the body to be able to find value and purpose and meaning. And so during this time, we're a bit challenged to be able to see that. However, the value is still there, that we are connected. We're in a place and position where we can find value. We don't do it alone. We do it in a connected form so that we are together. He is the supreme. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled him everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by all means of Christ's blood on the cross. Incredible statement of the power of Jesus and what he has accomplished for each one of us. Now, you can trust Jesus. You can trust him for your life and for what he wants to share. Scripture says it this way, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Important that we would understand and we would hold on to that, because that means whatever God's word says, no word from God will ever fail. Great importance as we lean on that and we trust that. And so there's an importance of understanding. We understand Jesus has power over nature. He has power over nature. We understand when you look around us and you see it seems like our world is out of control and it seems like things are happening all around us, we have to remember Jesus has power over nature. Here's what he said in Scripture. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And so we know that Jesus has power over nature. So no matter what is happening in our world, it seems like nature is a bit out of control as we continue to move through this time. We do know this. According to Scripture, as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, it says earthquakes will continue to increase. So we'll see more and more weather patterns disrupted, earthquakes happening as we get closer to the return of Christ. We know that by Scripture. So the fact is, do I understand why all things happen as they do? I don't. Can I explain all of those? No, I can't. But we do our best, even as a local church, to be able to minister to those who are suffering, to reach out and try to make a difference, those who have been hit by these kinds of circumstances. We also know Jesus has power over sickness. He has power over sickness. And so what scripture do we look at? He says, one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. One day he was, we see, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. So the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. So we know that Jesus healed as he went from place to place. Now, the only time we see that he seemed to be limited, he said he couldn't do many miracles there because of the lack of faith that was present. However, it's not always the case that healing doesn't happen because of a lack of faith. There are times that we understand it's not God's will to heal, and so we have to trust him. Do I understand all of that? No, I don't. I don't understand how God determines who is healed and who is not. I can't put that together and really grasp that fully. I can only say I know I have to trust God's wisdom and his will over mine. I've seen God heal miraculously. I've seen God work in people's lives, and that's happened. But I've also seen when it has not happened. And so each of those times, I have to come back to trust God. I mean, realistically, we look at, you know, some would say, oh, the reason that person's not being healed is because there's a lack of faith. And that's not always true. I've even heard people say to people who were on their deathbed, if you had the faith, that person would be healed. Horrible statement to say. You should never say that because that's not even scriptural. That's really inappropriate and not at all expressing the love of Christ. The fact is, as we look at scripture, we can be able to see how that happens. I'll give you an example for Paul. Paul had a gift of healing. We know that very clearly. And so, in fact, Paul, remember when Paul was preaching, he was kind of preaching all night. It was a long sermon. You think 20 or 30 minutes is long. He was preaching all night long. And so what happened? Eutychus fell asleep, and he was up in the window. He fell asleep, and then he fell out onto the floor, broke his neck, and died. And so what does Paul do? Paul goes down, prays over him, and brings him back to life, and then goes on with the sermon as if nothing happened. So I'm just checking to make sure nobody's asleep. All right, we're good. The fact is that, but later, now Paul definitely had a gift of healing, pretty evident right there. I mean, there are other incidents, but that's a pretty dramatic one. Later on, he said, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Trophimus was one of the people working with him. Now, if Paul had a gift of healing for all occasions and all people, why would he leave somebody, one of his coworkers, sick? Because it's not always God's will to heal all people. Then later on, he says to Timothy, what does he say to Timothy? Timothy, drink a little wine because you're sick so often. He didn't say, Timothy, have faith and believe and God will heal you from that. No, he gave him a prescription for medicine. The fact is, we don't always know how God is going to work. Do we pray believing by faith? Sure we do. And we trust God with the results. And we believe that he knows exactly what's best for each one of us as that would happen. Jesus also has power over sin. this tells us no matter what sin has been a part of your life, no matter what sin has happened, Jesus has forgiveness for it. And he says, then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand and as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. So God placed Jesus in that place so we could know forgiveness of sin, no matter what would be and no matter what would be a part of our life. We also know he has power over all things in this world. He has power over all things in this world. You may think that the world seems out of control. Even as we're walking through this pandemic, you may think, like, so what is happening and what is going? Where is God in all of this? And how comes this can't be just erased? I want to tell you that he is still in control. No matter what the world situation looks like, no matter what the circumstances, he is still in control. Scripture says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. No matter what's happening in our world, we can have peace when we put our hope and trust in him. And that's what we have to rely on whenever we're walking through this. Each one of us is promised power. Each one of us is promised power. I want to share with you an illustration that I feel will help you to be able to understand this just a little bit better. When J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, he had an opportunity to meet General Booth, of the founder of the Salvation Army, who was at that time past 80 years of age. Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and conflicts and the victories. Then the American evangelist asked the general if he would disclose the secret for his success. He hesitated a second, Dr. Chapman said, and I saw the tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it's because God has all the adoration of my heart and has all the power of my will and all the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of surrender. I'll share that again with you because it's powerful. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of surrender. In other words, to the degree you surrender to God is to the degree of the power of God in you. Powerful message. Scripture says it this way, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Would you read just that first part with me again? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, here's what happens. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit is a person, and he comes and lives in you. Now, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you as a person, and so what we know, it's not he is not an it, and you don't get pieces of the Holy Spirit. You get all of the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives in you as a person when you're born again. However, he doesn't have all of you. And that's why it's necessary that you learn how to fully surrender all of you to experience all of him in your life. And that's exactly what he wants to do. So God promises the resurrection power for each of us. And we heard that several times, both in song and testimony this morning. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us also. So his resurrection power that he used to bring Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And so that's a powerful statement. God promises us power to overcome fear. to overcome fear. So no matter what's happening in our world, we don't have to live in fear. Scripture says, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, or that could be fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so he doesn't want us to live in fear. We can live really much differently. I have to tell you this. I'll kind of confess this as I'm sharing this with you. I'm not the most patient driver. I think you've heard me say that before. I'm a bit of a mutterer. I kind of mutter as I'm going along behind cars or whatever it is. I'm not an angry or a violent driver, so you don't have to worry about that, but I do mutter often. And I had pulled up behind a car that was at the drive-up mailbox, you know, by the post office where you can just kind of shove your letters in. And so I had pulled up behind this car. The car had been there for a bit, as I kind of had seen. And when I come, you know, I just kind of think, you just drive in and keep going, you know? That's how I'm thinking. This car sits and sits and sits. And I think, are they on their phone? What is the stuff here? And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I think, I'm just about ready to hit my horn. And I see the woman with a towel around her mail and putting it into the slot for the mail. And I think, she is scared to death of COVID. This has her so fearful, she can't even touch her own mail. I'm just in shock. And then I felt really guilty and pretty awful about the thought of beeping my horn, because I thought, she's living in a prison of fear. Now, I don't mean we shouldn't be cautious. I'm not saying, you know, you just throw caution to the wind, you do whatever, you don't follow the rules or the guidelines. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying you don't have to live in fear. This is not where God has us. He has not designed us to live in fear. And I have always used this verse many times over and over. Whenever I felt fear or anxious about anything, you know, God gave us power, love, and self-discipline. It's a great verse to memorize. And whenever you come to a point of worry, concern, fear that might take over, memorize this verse. It's a great one to be able to remind you, I don't have to live in fear. You see, God promises strength for our lives. He promises strength for our lives. And so each of us can have strength no matter what's going on, no matter how weak we feel. He says this in scriptures, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power, incomparably, beyond what we could ever imagine, his great power for us who believe. That's what's available. The power, that same power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's the kind of power that is available to us. So stop pedaling your boat and turn on the motor and experience the power that he wants you to see. You see, God promises all that we need to live a godly life. I love the verse. His divine power has given us everything we need. His divine power has given us everything we need. Would you say that with me? His divine power has given us everything we need. That's exactly right. And we've got to keep that in our mind, got to continue to remember. He said, everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's the message. So as we look at all of this, God promises to be all that we need, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's before us. He promises to be all that we need. Are you feeling weak? Really, I think that happens. Sometimes we just feel run down. We feel like, I can't go on. Scripture says it this way, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'll strengthen and help you. If you're feeling weak, call out. And he promises. Remember, his word will not fail. He promises to be all that is needed. Feeling out of energy? You know, when we expend a lot of energy, there's a natural low that comes after that. Oftentimes it comes after the holidays, after a whole lot of extra work that you've had to put forth. Right after that, this is emotionally, chemically within us. This is what happens. We feel a low after this, and we feel a bit out of energy. Scripture says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not be faint. That tells you his words won't fail, and so he will give you the energy that you need. Feeling powerless? Does it feel sometimes that it's like rushing into you so strong and so heavy that it feels like it's hard to stand against? Scripture says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. He has the power. He's rich in power. He can give it to you so you don't have to feel powerless. He promises that in his word. Feeling like the answers aren't coming, you're praying for things and you're trusting God, but you just keep looking and it doesn't seem like it's making a difference. It doesn't seem like what you've been praying for is even working or changing or anything at all. Scripture says it this way, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, I have to tell you, I have a pretty good imagination. I can imagine God doing all kinds of things. And he said he's able to do more than we can imagine, immeasurably more. Now here's the hitch. According to his power that is at work within us. So for me to experience more of his power, there has to be more of my surrender. So the more surrender that is given, the more power that comes. And according to that power is what he can do through my life. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Feeling hopeless? Sometimes it seems like, where is the hope? Where is the difference? May the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will help you to overflow with hope. Feeling like your burden is more than you can bear? Sometimes it's just so heavy and it feels like it's more than I can handle. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, light and momentary, they don't feel that way, do they? They feel heavy and forever. But Paul says it this way, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So eternity, what's in eternity, which is forever, is coming. And what is there is far greater than anything we experience here. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, don't look at the troubles that are around you, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's the good news of the gospel, that he has prepared eternity for us, and he has all that we need for this life as our hope and trust is in him. I want to pray for you in closing. And if God has been speaking to your heart through any one of these six that we've just talked about, feeling weak, feeling out of energy, feeling powerless, feeling like answers aren't coming, feeling hopeless, feeling like your burden is more than you can bear. If it's any one of those, would you just stand right where you are? I want to pray for you in closing, because God is speaking to hearts. He's faithful, and he will work in each of our lives as our hope and trust is in him. So just stand right where you are and let me pray for you in closing. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for the faithful ways that your work, whether online or in person, that you're speaking to hearts and helping them to be renewed daily, to know the power of your strength, the power of your spirit to work, and to accomplish all that's needed. You know the need of each one that is standing, each one online that is saying, yes, I need that today. Father, I ask that you would help them to feel your presence, to know your power, to know your hope, your strength, all that would be needed as their trust and hope is in you. Thank you that we don't face this alone. And to the measure that we're able to surrender, to that measure of power we're able to experience, let your presence continue to walk with us. Be all that is needed as our hope and trust is in you. Help us as we face this new year. It may be no different than the past, but it can be different because our hope is in you. It's not in this calendar. And so for all you do, we're going to give you thanks. In Christ's name.